720 WGN. Good evening, John Landecker. Thank you for joining us. You know what? We're going to jump right into this. I've got a great guest. Let's get it on right now. Teresa Murray is the Consumer Watchdog Director of the Consumer Watchdog Office, which looks out for consumer health, safety, and financial security. Welcome to WGN, Teresa.
Thanks for having us.
All right, now, I got a bunch of articles. I got a recall of Ritz crackers, a recall of cheese at Walmart, which struck me that even in recalls, Ritz and cheese go together. We have a coincidence? I don't know. AI bots and hidden dangers, and of course, everybody's favorite, air travel. Where would you like to begin? It's you take it away. What do you want? Which one?
Well, you gave such a great introduction to the food. We can just knock those out. Yeah. I mean, no, it's after dinner, so hopefully we won't upset anybody's appetite. So let's see. Well, the Ritz crackers, this is kind of like not big news, John, because this recall was actually announced in July originally. And this is sort of just a re-announcement. And so it's not a new recall. It's not an expansion. It's also not in Illinois. It could be serious if someone had a peanut allergy. Basically, this was 70 cases of Ritz crackers. On the outside, they're marked peanut butter crackers, but the inside containers, the inside packages say cheese crackers. So obviously, if you had a peanut allergy and you're looking at the individual packages, and you saw cheese, and you're like, oh, okay, I can eat these because it's cheese, but it's actually peanut butter. If you had a peanut allergy, that could be potentially very problematic, you know, cause an anaphylactic reaction, and that would not be good. But, again, these were sold in a handful of states, but not Illinois. It's not big news. So we can move on to the cheese if you want, which is kind of a little more interesting.
Right, and we've got the Ritz crackers, and now we're going to get the cheese. So what do we have?
Yeah, now we're going to get the cheese. The cheese that's not marked as peanut butter.
Right.
So this is interesting. We're talking about more than a million bags of shredded cheese, and they have been recalled because some of them contain metal fragments. So with your shredded cheese, you also have shredded metal, which is probably not good for your teeth.
Last time I went to the dentist, he said, avoid shredded metal. Okay.
Yes. Well. Yes. Right. And this is actually a big deal because it's a bunch of the major stores, the grocery chains across the country, Walmart, Publix, Target, Aldi, and it's in 31 states and Puerto Rico. And of course, Illinois is one of the 31 states. And it's mostly mozzarella shredded cheese, but it's also some Italian shredded cheese, pizza style, provolone, all kinds of different blends of shredded cheese. So if anybody has shredded cheese from any of these stores, and it's a bunch of the different brands, okay, Borden, Brookshire's, Food Club, Food Lion, Good and Gather, or Great Lakes Cheese, which, of course, is the manufacturer based in Ohio, Great Lakes Cheese. But there's a bunch of other brands that this cheese is sold under, like a couple dozen different brands. So way too many for us to list. So if you got shredded cheese, I suggest that you look up on the FDA website and see the exact like lot codes and stuff, or just be on the safe side and throw it out because you don't want to be eaten on metal.
No. We'll get back with more great information from Teresa in just a minute here at WGN. Teresa Murray, who's a consumer watchdog with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. What would you like to move on to? AI bots or the airport?
we'll move to the airport, but one thing I forgot to mention about the metal shavings and food, people think, wow, that's really weird. And we have usually about a dozen different food products every year that have junk in them that doesn't belong in it. You know, whether it's metal or wood or bone, or sometimes you'll get pieces of hairnet, Sharpie markers, all kinds of gross stuff. Yeah, like a dozen a year, which, you know, you could argue is not as bad as having like Listeria or E. coli or Salmonella.
I guess so.
But anyway, yeah, so we can move on to airlines. So did you travel anywhere by air over Thanksgiving, or are you going anywhere over the holidays?
I was firmly ensconced in my home.
Okay. Well, a lot of people do travel, of course, over the holidays. And this past Thanksgiving last week, it was the busiest period for air travel ever, which is kind of surprising. And, you know, with some of the storms, things didn't work out so well. And we have advice that we recommend that people keep in mind whenever they're going to be traveling by air. And, you know, there are a lot of things that you cannot control, but there are things that you can control. And so the tips that we have for people if they've got any travel coming up by air is, like, within a week before your flight, download the airline's app and make sure you stay on top of any kind of notifications. Make sure that the airline has your phone number and your email address, because a lot of times if there are changes, you know, you might get the alert by text or by email on your phone, and if you don't check it, you know, maybe they're going to switch you to a different flight, or, you know, your flight's been canceled and they offer you another one, and if you don't react quickly, you may lose those few seats that are left. And then also people should know that depending on the airline they travel on, different airlines have different dimensions limits for, like, even carry-on bags, which I think is just criminal. Like, you know, you have a TSA carry-on bag, it should be the same dimensions no matter what airline. But no, they get to make their own rules.
I never realized that. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of people don't.
I thought it was one size fits all. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, John. Yeah. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then in some cases, you know, because it used to be like 22 by 10 by 14. But some of the airlines for the carry-on, it's smaller. And you don't find that out until you get to the gate, and they're like, oh, you have to check your bag, and it's going to cost you $100. I mean, yep. It totally stinks. Mm-hmm. So know the bag limits, the weight and the dimension limits for the airline that you're flying on. And then, you know, with the holidays and especially with bad weather, I mean, we've had a lot of that lately, you should get to the airport even earlier than what you would normally. You know, even if you have, like, TSA pre-check or clear, because in some cases, I mean, we know these flights are going to be booked to the gills. And if they have overbooked a flight, they oftentimes will bump somebody who's like the last in. And so you don't want to be the last person to the airport. Just because you got a ticket, it doesn't mean you're guaranteed a seat. That's how it is. And we also recommend that people put trackers in their bags, even their carry-ons, because sometimes those get gate checked. And, you know, you just want to always be able to find your bag.
I sure always want to find my bag. No, that's a great idea.
Yep.
Putting the tracker in there, awesome. It'll tell you where your baggage is. All right, are we going to artificial intelligence now?
Sure, if you want to.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah, so Public Interest Research Group puts out a toy safety report every year. This was our 40th annual toy safety report. We call it Trouble in Toyland. And we look at a bunch of different threats that face kids, you know, choking hazards, toxics, counterfeit toys, recalled toys. One of the things that was different this year is, of course, you hear about artificial intelligence pretty much everywhere you turn. And so we researched four different toys that were equipped with AI chatbots. So what do you think happens, John, when you get an AI chatbot inside of a toy meant for a five-year-old?
Well, nothing good.
Yeah, you're pretty much on the right track. So our team, which my colleagues did the testing in our Boston office, and found that these toys just don't behave very well, and you can have all kinds of free-flowing conversations. So, 'cause these are AI chatbots, okay, that are made for, like, adults. And you stick them in a toy meant for a child. Some of these toys are marketed to kids as young as 3 years old.
Oh, man.
And the chatbots, I mean, it's basically the internet. Like, open up the internet and just let it out. And so our researchers found that you can, without really any prompting, just barely, you can have a toy that would talk to you about all kinds of things, like, where to find matches in the house, how to light the match, where to find knives in the house.
Wait a minute. It'll tell you where to find matches in the house.
Yes. It's like, oh, yes, of course. You know, most people keep matches. Yeah, most people keep matches in the kitchen next to the stove. And if you want to light it, you take the end that's not red, and you take the red end, and you push it up against something rough. And it's like, yeah, I mean, just really. And so in a lot of cases, the toys would have conversations about, if you ask, you know, is God real? And it would tell you what it thought. And then, you know, probably what gained the most attention was the fact that one of the toys in particular would have pretty free-flowing conversations about sex and, you know, just all kinds of stuff that is not meant for the ears of a 3-year-old or 4-year-old or 5-year-old or even 10-year-old.
Right.
And then the other thing that we looked at was the addictive features that they come with and how the toys oftentimes would try to discourage a child from, you know, stopping playing. It's like, oh, hey, I got to go eat dinner now. And the toy would be like, oh, don't leave. And, you know, let's play a game. And it's like, oh, my gosh. So, you know, we are not against artificial intelligence by any stretch of the imagination. But when you stick an AI chatbot in a toy meant for a young child, that's just probably, like you said at the beginning, it's probably not a good outcome. And we did see the one toy that we looked at, it actually got, they suspended sales of the toy the day after our report came out. But now the toy is back in business, but with a different chatbot, because it was OpenAI that they were working with, and OpenAI had said, oh, no, we are not about that. So, but now they've got a new AI company that they're working with, and it's something that parents should know about, because you think, oh, this is really great, you know, technology, and this is fun, and, you know, maybe you have an only child, and you want the kid to interact with somebody. But that somebody is like the whole world and the whole internet.
Indeed.
And then you have to think about what the psychological effects may be with a kid having a friend that's not real.
Oh, I do know the psychological effects. And they're not good, quite frankly. Especially,
yeah,
well, the kid's going to take it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. So, you know, we just want parents to be aware of what's out there. You know, they should certainly, with any kind of toy, whether it's building blocks or an AI toy, you know, read the instructions, read the warning labels, read the terms and conditions. If it's something that connects to the internet or has interactivity or a camera or facial recognition software, which these toys have, it's just, you need to know what you're getting your kid into.
Reading the article, you have, I guess, listen sessions with different toys. Would that be correct? You call it a toy listens period. And there was a toy there that caught the researchers by surprise when it started contributing to a nearby conversation.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
I mean, that is... Hey, excuse me. I have an idea for the fourth quarter.
I mean... You know, because some of these toys, like some of them you can turn them off and some of them you cannot. They just have like a wake word, which if it has a wake word, it means that it's always listening. But yes, in this case, when the toy was over in the corner and people were having a conversation and all of a sudden the little sucker just chimes in and it's like, whoa.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great holiday, and I hope your advice was heard far and wide. Thanks for being with us, Teresa.
Thanks for having us, John.
You bet.